what's your name, sir?
My name is Chauncey Bruce. My number is 153-84. I wrote a letter to the board of directors.
Wait one second. Wait, we got to find this, what was his name?
Chauncey Bruce.
Bruce Bruce.
Okay, and I think I had him.
Okay, wait one second. We just have to find your paperwork. The owner, Miss Woodhouse, will be serving as your lead, sir. So just hold on for a moment, and she gets some paperwork together, sir. Just one moment.
Okay, Mr. Bruce.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please state your name and your ABC number?
My name is Chauncey Bruce. My DLC number is 153-84.
Okay, thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that appears on your warrant of arrest. You should have been notified about this hearing. Let's see, you were notified on April 5th, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember?
April 5th.
You signed a form that day that notified you that the hearing would be today.
Oh, yes, for the second, right?
Remember that, right. So on that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney, or will you be representing yourself today?
I will be representing myself today. Please.
Okay, that's just fine, not a problem. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look on the video screen, all the way down to your right, my left, all the way at the end there, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right here beside me in the center of the bench is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be conducting your hearing today.
Thank you.
Also with us in the room, we have Mr. Osborne. And there you can see Mr. Osborne now. He is with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing. So before we start, I need to swear both you and Mr. Osborne in. Mr. Bruce and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do,
ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Bruce, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated your conditions, and phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Bruce, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and when I'm finished, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. If you think it's false, then we'll get information from Mr. Osborne, and the board will use the information to make a determination as to whether you violated your conditions. Okay, sir? All right. All right, we'll start phase one of your hearing. And here's the allegation, Mr. Bruce. It's that you were in violation of condition number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix on or about January 3rd, 2018, without the prior approval of your signed parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were absconded from supervision. Mr. Bruce, is this true or false?
It's true, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And based on Mr. Bruce's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Motion by Rittenhouse, seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed Dr. Wright, agreed Mr. Neal, agreed Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Bruce, we can go to phase two of your hearing and determine if your community supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Osborne to give us all some background information about you And then we'll be right back to talk with you some more in just a moment. So just remain silent. We'll be right back with you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Osborne?
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Bruce was released from DOC custody on June 26th of 2017. He was arrested on March 16th of 2018 by the Mesa Pete Police Department on his Wisconsin warrant status and was returned back to our custody that same day with 72 Wisconsin days with a projected community supervision end date of September 27th of 2018. Current conviction, 2011 armed robbery, 7 years. Prior convictions, 2000, theft of means of transportation, 2 years, 6 months. 2000, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. And 2005, theft of means of transportation, 4 years, 6 months. He spent 3 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 2-3, a DOMO score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 1. There is SCG gang information noted that he is a suspected gangster disciple. Prior term to supervision, 2002, TIS absconder, arrested and revoked by BOEC. And 2008, TIS absconder, arrested and revoked by BOEC. He has a modern disciplinary history. Other arrests, 1995, burglary, second degree, AZ juvenile probation. 1996, burglary, first degree, AZ juvenile probation. 1996, minor possession of alcohol, AZ juvenile probation. 1998, assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. And 2004, disorderly conduct, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. And he has a community risk score of G7V8.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Bruce, it looks like you lived several places when you were released. You started at Traditions on Vista, West Vista.
Yes.
Then you went over to, about a month and a week later, you went over to Reborn on Fairmont in Phoenix. And then it looks like you were there maybe 2 months or 3 months almost, and you went to Vivre on West Maryland. And then you were there about 2 more months, and you went to a different Vivre, the one over on Elm. And you were placed into, at that point, a 90-day behavioral modification program because you were using methamphetamine, sir. And then you left January 3rd and didn't come back. Where'd you go?
I got married. And when I did that, my wife ended up talking me into calling my parole officer and telling him what was going on with me. I wrote this letter that for myself for you guys so I can tell you about myself.
Well,
it makes sense about the things that I did while I was out there.
Okay. Well, we'll have you read that in just a moment. But we have some other questions to ask you before, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Where were you working?
I was working for Apple Homes on 25th Avenue, Rango.
Okay. And you worked here the whole time?
Yes, ma'am.
Would that job still be available to you when you get back out?
Yes, ma'am. And also, my wife has a job paying $18 an hour as a slaughterhouse on 94th Avenue in Van Buren, and they wouldn't hire me for $18 an hour. And I started out sometimes as an apprentice, so I'm looking forward to that. So I keep my hands busy, you know. So
that sounds good too. That sounds real good. So what about this methamphetamine use, sir?
Well, I got out and I was in the taco house. I started being around the people there, and the managers were getting high, and you know, the people are getting high. And you know, I'm not really even, it was my own fault for doing what I did, and I take full responsibility for that. I ended up getting high, I got afraid, and I freaked out, and I didn't know what to do, and I ended up leaving. I talked to Jesse about it, so I went. He helped me get into the BBC program for counseling because after I got out of prison, my mother passed away before I got out from breast cancer. And I was supposed to get out and take care of her, was suddenly digging out, they wouldn't let me go over four roads to my town, to my hometown. But I had to say halfway out, they wanted to be out there to do other things, to come on to my here. And all the stress going on, he's halfway out, that's all about it. So I remember last night, we went down there, it's a responsibility, just go down there, meet with the office. And I was talking with the tow, because I realized I got hurt in that place. I said, please don't be in a place, you know, that, I don't want to be around that.
So Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Which place was it? You started in Traditions. Is that where you ran into the drug issue?
Yes, ma'am.
So it was the very first place? So that's where you got high for the first time?
Yes, ma'am.
And was that the first time you had ever used meth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And did you use meth when you were reborn?
Yes, I did.
And how about at Vivre?
And Vivre is there, but I was trying to do these classes. And, I was keeping myself away from people, but suddenly, every time I turned to the left, I had a roommate that was doing something.
Okay, understood. It can be difficult.
It made me afraid, it made me scared, I didn't know who to turn to, or who to talk to. So I ended up just working up.
It sounds like you, Mr. Bruce, it sounds like you talked to your parole officer, because you said you talked to Jesse, correct?
I know that guy. He's a really nice guy. He always tries to help me,
And that's what parole officers do, usually. So what were you doing when the Mesa PD picked you up? What were you doing?
We were bringing my wife. She was driving with me. So we get money to get a place. The Social Security stopped. They got it cut short for our son. And she works for Bensfield Pet Hospital. She's a tech vet. So they said she makes the most, they cut our child's Social Security down to so much a month.
Right.
By the time this happened, we weren't able to pay the rent, so I was hoping we didn't move.
So why did Mesa PD pick you up? I mean, why did you come to their attention that day? What were you doing?
Because we were Ubering. We were Uber Eats. Me and my wife. And one of the lights in the front was out.
Okay.
By the truck, and they put us over.
Okay, headlight out. Okay, got it. And so what were you doing during those 72 days that you had absconded? Why did you lose touch with your parole officer?
Because I didn't want to lose my family as far as my wife being sick and having cancer. I was going to just pass away. But I was also, away from all that due to the fact that my son, he's a Make-A-Wish kid from Make-A-Wish Foundation. And he's a wheelchair. He needs to get around because he's not going to live to see David's 25 or 30 years old. He's born with a disease like that. And so there's really reluctance to go back. So I stayed with him for a while because I wanted to make sure that they got a place over here that they were safe. So I'm trying to in a place, and when we got ready to get our marriage license and certificates, the very next day was to do that, so we got rest of the mess up because we needed the money,
Okay, sir.
And we were able to excuse for what it did.
Okay.
That's what I did. I just want to be able to go home to work and take care of them because they really need me, because they're in a bad situation as far as the neighborhood that was in, wanting to be around all that stuff out there like that.
Okay, understood. So, Mr. Bruce, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Any questions? Okay, Mr. Bruce, you mentioned that you had a statement. So we're coming toward the end of your hearing. I'm going to give you an opportunity to read your letter or your statement. So now would be the good time to do that.
To members, to all members of the parole board, this is my letter of my acceptance of responsibility for my actions related to my parole. was charged and sentenced to 7 years imprisonment for a felony committed. While serving on the DOC, has been arrested by Senator Bruin and had my studies and I became a peer mentor. To help young men come into this institution and keep them positive and lead them in the way through all the policies as well as leading them into the right direction. I have a great rapport for all the staff members, even the ones I used to work for. I work hard getting no tickets for the felony committed, showing and proving myself worthy of coming home to my beloved mother, who just recently passed away from breast cancer. She was waiting for me to come home so that I could take care of her. And she was the love of my life. I never even got a chance to say goodbye. June 26, 2017, I was released from DOC and reported to my parole officer, Jesse Cabrera. From there, I had to report straight away to the halfway house, due to terms of my parole. But within a few weeks, I was working for Capitol Home and learning how to show gatherings and put up crime money and learning how to control money as well. Within 90 days, I got a rig so that I worked and took care of my payments, never late for getting my bills. I also took care of my children and was able to get school clothes and supplies for me for the first time in years. Smiley face. My parole officer just said earlier, a great guy, but he tried his best to help me when my mother's passing. And I was really sad and depressed when she passed, and the time started being tough for me in the halfway house. I went to the BC program for counseling sessions and for group meetings. I love to go to those meetings, and I love to the people there. Members of the board, please understand that I know there isn't any excuse for my actions. And my modern friend is one that almost stable as I thought it would be. One night I went out with my wife and my son to dinner, and on the way back to the halfway house, the tire ran out of our truck on the freeway. I told my PO about my intentions and what happened. I told him I got married and I let him know the story of what went on with me. He told me to turn myself in after I got my marriage certificate done, but I couldn't just leave my wife and son. Why? Because my wife has cancer as well, and as well as she has, as well as my husband. My son is handicapped. And was one of the diseases that enables him to live over to live more than 25 to 30 years of age.
Mr. Bruce, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm almost there.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Go on.
To make a long story short, I'm very sorry for putting into myself in this. It's something that I could and it could be resolved. Most more women, but please grant me a chance for the last couple of months I have so that I can provide for my family, my son, and my wife. I desperately need some so that I can go back to work and help them with getting a new place because they are in a bad business situation. I have a great job waiting for me, and all I want to do is be a husband and father to help them. Please consider this and please allow me to make this right by doing awesome and great things for my family. I know that everyone wants to go home and everyone has a story to tell, but my story is from the heart and it's the truth. I make no excuses for my actions and weren't justified. I also take full responsibility for my actions. They were unbecoming. Had I not had a wife and child, seriously and easily, I wouldn't have come and waste you guys' time. But I do, and I desperately need you, and even if I don't go home after this day, I swear I will never see the inside of a prison and work jail cell for the rest of the days. Members of the board, thank you for your time and your patience. God bless you. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bruce. Mr. Bruce, the board is going to go into discussion, and it may sound like we're talking to you, but it's the board talking among itself. So all we ask is you remain on the line, listen to the discussion, but remain silent. And we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Bruce is an individual who seems to have difficulty with community supervision. That's the aspect of this that I'm having difficulty with. He responded from two previous periods of community supervision and also responded for 72 days on this term and has been using methamphetamine. So I'm not seeing him as a good candidate for community supervision, but I've listened to any input.
I agree.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion then to I move to revoke community supervision based on information in warrant 2018W0076, information provided by Mr. Osborne and our discussion with Mr. Bruce. So I'm moving to revoke community supervision as Mr. Bruce was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by using methamphetamine while on supervision and absconding for 72 days.
Second.
Agreed.
Thank you. Motion by Rittenhouse, seconded by Mr. Johnson. Agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Nero, Mr. Quinones. Okay. So, Mr. Bruce?
Yes,
yes, you heard the board's discussion and vote. The board has voted unanimously to revoke your community supervision. Scheduled release date is September 27th of this year, and that's if nothing kind of goes wrong in between now and then. We do hope that you're able to get involved in some kind of treatment program or classes, whether it's NA, AA, regarding your drug use. Okay, well, that's good. Then we urge you to continue doing that, sir. We wish you the best. You obviously need to be out and being a good role model, but the board just cannot overlook that you've absconded from supervision. You did that, and we don't see that you're a good candidate for community supervision. So, Mr. Bruce, that concludes your hearing, and we thank you for participating. If you'd give the phone back to the CO3, we would appreciate it. Thank you, sir.